Amen. Like I say, it's good to see each one of you. We thank the Lord for allowing us to be here. After I found out that Blaine was being baptized, we got a bad ring somewhere. Is it me? Too close?
Brother Greg, turn this one off. Greg, kill this one.
Hallelujah. Did you see that?
Preach.
All right, bro. Amen. Anyway, we went across the mountain this afternoon and went to Mountain City and eat lunch. And my daddy's brother is pretty bad off or sick. And so we came back by to visit a little while with him. And I just found out this morning that Blaine's being baptized this afternoon. So we were coming down the road, and I just had this feeling after Blaine had already called and said, "Daddy, would you like to baptize me?" And I said, "Well, son, if you want me to, I'd love to." And so as soon as that phone call was over with, I kind of had that feeling that I'd be asked to preach tonight. But I'm glad that the Lord shows up, shows off, and he knows what we stand in need of. And then, of course, first instinct is when somebody asks you, catch you kind of off guard. Mark said, "Well, it's plenty of notice. I mean, it's 4:00, and you know, by 6:00, you should be ready." First instinct said, "No, I'd rather sit and be preached to." And so I hung the phone up, said I'd be glad to, and hung the phone up and looked at my wife and said, "No problem. Is what in the world am I going to preach on?" But then the Lord laid a message on her heart, and I appreciate him for being faithful, and I appreciate you praying for us while we've been gone. It is amazing how much the church has changed for the good. I see a lot of faces that I don't recognize, and if you don't know me, as Mark's already said, I'm Derek Hodges. I grew up in this church, and I got to announce my call to preach in this church. I actually surrendered right there. And ain't nothing been the same since, but it sure has been good. Where my wife is sitting, I watched my daddy sit there for years and worship the Lord. So there's a lot of fond memories here. But I watched the youth choir tonight, and man, what a blessing. You guys just rock. You're doing great. But what was a youth choir when I left is now as young adults. You've all blossomed and grew up, but you're still serving God. And I thank the Lord for that. I got a text message. It's been about 2 weeks ago. It was a kind of like a cartoon that you get, you know, when you look at the funny pages or something. And there's a little bubble above it. It was a man sitting at a park bench. He's sitting at the park bench. He's got his little dog sitting beside of him. And above the man's head, there's like four little bubbles. And if I can remember them all, one was a house, one was an airplane, one was his job or a car, and the other was money. And that's what he's sitting on the park bench, you know, and he's just in supposedly enjoying his time, but all that's on his mind is what's next, or what's he going to buy next, what's he going to do next, where's he going to go next. And then that little dog was sitting beside of him, and right above the dog's head, you know what was in the bubble? Was a park bench with a little dog sitting beside of him. He was sitting on the park bench with his little dog. All that dog cared about was just making his master happy. All the dog cared about was just sitting there with his master. Maybe every once in a while that he'd just reach down and rub him on the head or something. And boy, that just thrilled the dog to death. Or maybe throw him a bone or throw him a treat. And you know, that was it. As we pondered on that and the Lord laid some scripture upon our heart that I believe would be a help to us tonight. And that's a lot of times we just have a cluttered life. We just get so cluttered. And the things that means, and the things that should be important, sometimes it gets cast aside, sometimes it gets laid aside, and we get so consumed in the things that we desire, the things that we want, the things that we want to do. As I told my church, guilty. That's me. I'm guilty because if I get something on my mind, you know, I'm just not going to stop till I do it. You know, maybe we shouldn't be that way, but I think it's this human side of us, that sometimes we just get so consumed in things. So if the Lord let me title the message tonight, it'd be a cluttered life. And I'm afraid that we living in a day and a time when the devil has thrown so many things out in front of us. There's so many bright and flashing and shiny lights that he has to draw our attention. And it's so easy for him to do because he attacks the flesh. So if you have your Bibles with you tonight, let's look in the book of 1 Samuel. We've got several places to go. I pray to be a help to us, encouragement to us. You pray for us that we'll try to mind the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter number 10, 1 Samuel chapter number 10, you find your places. We'll stand in honor of reading of God's Word. Just a couple of verses there. Let me say again what a privilege it is to be here tonight. Amen. Look out across this and see some familiar faces I know has been praying for us. And I love you, church. I surely do love my pastor and love everything the church stands for. And I'll say this before we go any further. I get asked quite often, where's a good church in Wilkes County? And this is the first place that I send anybody. Because other than any other church, I ain't got a clue. But I know this is a good church, stands on God's word, and the Spirit is free and has liberty. Anyway, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter number 10 and verse number 20, it says, "And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. And when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by the families, and the family of Matri was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they sought him, they could not be found. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet be thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. And just want to thank you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. And Lord, we come to you as humble as an old how. Lord, I need your touch. I need your help tonight. And Lord, without you, it'll be all in vain. Lord, without you, there'll be no worship. Without you, the service would just as well ended with a choir singing. But God, I believe that you have a touch in your word that you want to share with us tonight, and I pray you'd help us, encourage us, strengthen us, help us to receive it. Lord, help us, Lord God, to meditate on it, and Lord, just help it to be a help to us. And Lord, we'll thank you for that. I pray again, give us preaching grace and liberty for a little while, and we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. If you get a little bit of cap on what's taking place here, is that Israel's decided. You know, God has been their leader. God has been there for them. But all of a sudden, they decide to say, we want a king. Right. We want somebody to step up to the plate and be our king. And as they start to pick this man, there is tribes of men there. And as you know in the Bible, how that sometimes things comes to pass that they pick up and pick out someone. It might be the lot falls on that person. It might be that that they're just chosen, or God just reveals something, or maybe a priest would come and give a touch. Remember that how Samuel was spoken to in the middle of the night. But as it's time, it's God's will that Saul become the king. It's his will. So now Saul has this opportunity to step up to the plate and be in God's will. And as they're searching out, and I believe Saul knows exactly what's getting ready to take place, but the tribe starts coming through. And they send this tribe away, and another tribe comes through. They send that tribe away. And then all of a sudden, the tribe that has Saul involved, as when he comes through, they pull him aside. And then they start going through them as individuals. And they'll send somebody through, and they'll send the next one through. And all of a sudden, nobody comes through that they're actually looking for. So they start questioning, well, wait just a second. Where is the man that God is going to anoint to be the king? And God speaks up and says, well, he's hiding out among the stuff. You know, each one of us have an opportunity as God has saved us and we're born into the family of God and he has established us. And this morning at our church this morning, our choir leader, his mother is really sick and she's been attacked with two different kinds of medicine that has wiped out all of her white blood cells. I mean, she is in bad shape. I mean, there's nothing to fight off any kind of disease. So my choir leader has been staying with her. And so she wasn't there this morning. And do you know how dull a service can be if you don't have any kind of singing? I mean, it can really be dull. I mean, I told him, you know, thank the Lord he gave me about an hour and a half worth of preaching this morning, you know, to make up for time. But still yet, it was just a change because we didn't have any singing this morning. They didn't want me singing, you know, and then ain't nobody else can carry a tune. So it's only one and she wasn't there. But still yet, I looked at church, I said, do you see how that different things are when people are not in their place? Do you see how different things are when just maybe one person be out of place? I said, you know, it's drastic when the choir leader's not there, but everybody else has a place in the family of God. We all got a place in that body. And if we're not in our place, then we can't follow through with what God's will is. You know, God had a will. And he was going to put a king in place, but the king, man, instead of just stepping up to the plate and doing what God would have him to do, he's hiding out among the stuff. Man, it's so easy, preacher, or pastor, it's so easy that when God has a will for us, I mean, and I believe it's God's will for me to stand here tonight. Do you know what? After that, the preacher called me, or after the pastor called me, you know what I was thinking? Man, I was going home and take a nap. I was going to get me about 30 minutes in. You know, the flesh starts fighting. You know, the Bible says that flesh is enemy against God.
Right.
But if it's awful easy that we'll start to hide out among the things that shouldn't even consume us.
Right.
We get so cluttered in our minds about God has a will, God has a way, God has a purpose, and all of a sudden the flesh starts to rise up and gets cluttered up in its mind that it can't follow what God's will is. And I couldn't help but to think as I thought about this scripture of how many people that God would allow me to be a part of their salvation. Not that I can save anybody. But God would have let me be a part of it if I wasn't so consumed in the stuff and was more about being after God's business and His calling upon our lives. Man, it's so easy. How many of you got consumed in some stuff this afternoon? I tell you what, I guarantee there's empty seats here tonight because some people got consumed in their stuff. Well, they got hung up on a TV show. Oh, man, that recliner felt so good they couldn't get out of it. I'm preaching to somebody that's not here, right? Let's go to another place in Scripture. Let's go now to the book of Mark, chapter number 5. Man, this is very familiar Scripture right here. I want you to see something that the Lord showed us in this Scripture in Mark, chapter number 5. And I'm going to start reading in verse number 25. And no doubt, I know your pastor, and my pastor, he mentions this scripture quite often because I do. I mean, it's just a piece of scripture that, man, you just can't help but to use it. I mean, this woman with an issue of blood, she's been preached and she's been preached and lives have been changed. I mean, there's been, you know, drastic things have happened over this piece of scripture in times past. But I want you to see something else, and maybe you've already seen it before. Man, it sure did look good to me. But Mark chapter number 5. In verse number 25, remember, a cluttered life. It says, and a certain woman who had had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. But we've heard this over and over. And this woman spent everything she had.
Right.
She's been to every physician. She has asked everybody's opinion.
Mom.
She has looked and said, well, if you think that'll work, I'll try that. But never had got a touch from God. It said, but rather she grew worse with the problem that she had rather than to get any better. But I want you to notice the people that she's been affiliated with. It was people that still wasn't looking for God either. But listen to what it says. It's when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Okay. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? You notice a moment ago I said the same people that she was affiliated with was the same people that when Jesus come walking through, they were the ones that were thronging him. They were the ones that was just overwhelming him. They were the ones that were running and touching up against him, and they were probably, give me this, give me that, heal this, heal that. I mean, they just kept going on and on and on about what they wanted Jesus to do. Or maybe they was just there being nosy of what he was going to say or what he was going to do to somebody else. Regardless of what it was, it said that this little lady that had rather grew worse, had done everything, had already talked to all these people that were around. They were everyone. She's asked their opinion. She's given them her money. She's allowed them to try some kind of a procedure to make her feel better, to make her to be able to stop the blood and all the things that was taking place in her body. It said that she pressed through them. Amen. She pressed through them. See, the problem is we get so cluttered up in life. There was a guy came in my shop yesterday morning. I own a pawn shop, if you didn't know that. I'm a pawn shop preacher. Guy came in my shop yesterday morning, and he just walks up to my wife's little cousin, which we think of him as a nephew. But anyway, starts walking up to him and starts talking. Well, this young man's father committed suicide several years ago, one of my best friends. Well, this guy walks up and he starts talking, and I ain't got a clue where he's coming from, how it got started, but he's saying something about a pain clinic and that he's on disability and how that he has to have his medicine and he didn't know how he would make it without his medicine. Then he goes on to say, but I think that now this is what people listens to. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. He said, I think that you know, it'd be okay to kill yourself if you ask God to forgive you before you do it. Well, it already starts rolling in my mind, and I'm getting mad because I know what my little buddy's been through. You know, so he just keeps beating the bush. And then he goes on to speak about how that hell's here on earth and how that you can fall from grace. And this guy's confused, you know. He said, I can back all this up by Scripture. Well, you know what I got in the pawn shop? My Bible. So I grabbed my Bible out and I just handed it to him. I said, if you don't mind, how about backing up everything you're saying with the Word? Oh, I got a Bible, but now if you want to back up what you got to say, go right ahead. Well, I open up my Bible and I start to back up what I've got to say with the Scripture. And you know what? I read to him exactly what he wanted to hear, but he looks at me and says, you didn't even read anything that pertained to what we were talking about. What I'm telling you is this man is telling you what he's heard. See, this feller's giving me all this information that grandma's told him or grandpa's told him or somebody that has no clue what they're talking about. Somebody that they just get so far off the path, off the beaten path, that they get to the point where they think they know so much when they know nothing. And by the time we get there, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm getting mad and he's getting ready to get thrown out of the shop. But the Lord intervened and just let him leave. This woman had to press through all these people that had been giving her opinions.
Come on.
She had to press through these that were trying to give her something they said would make her better, but rather she grew worse. That's right. She had to get to the place to where that she could press through to get to the very one, the only one,
right,
that could make a difference in her life.
Amen.
And that was Jesus Christ. And when she realized that, it didn't make any difference what she had to overcome, what she had to do, but she just went and started pressing through all those opinions and all those things, and she touched him.
Amen.
And when she touched him, he said, who has touched me?
Amen.
Why? Because there was faith involved. She believed that she could just touch him. It would change her life, and surely that it did. Let's go somewhere else. Let's go to Luke chapter number 2. This one will get you. How many of you know somebody that is somebody? I'm not talking about the Lord. I'm talking about you know somebody, and they got a big name, and you know, it's that type of person that, you know, if you be good to them, you're hoping that someday they'll return the favor and be good to you. Everybody knows somebody like that, or they think they're somebody anyway. So we get here to this scripture in Luke chapter number 2, and it's time for Jesus to be born. And the Bible tells us here in verse number 1, says, and it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenia was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee unto the city of Nazareth, into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. It's about time for Jesus to be born. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. I can't help but to believe that when Joseph come into town, that he went up to this little inn and he looked at this man and he said, "Sir, my wife's getting ready to bear a child. We desperately need a room. I need a safe haven for her. I need a place that she can deliver this child. This ain't just any child. This is a special child. And we really need your help right now." And I believe he looked at him and he said, "My inn's full." Because there was people there that was somebody. They'd already made their reservations from a long time back. You know, they'd already come and man, they had money. They had cars, square wheel wagons, whatever it might be. They had all these things. But the man could not reject his ego and what he thought somebody else might do for him to actually give room and give way to the very child of God. Wow. How many times we think we're hanging out with somebody that thinks they're somebody, and yet we will still let them intimidate us. We'll let them point us in certain directions or tell us things to do, or they'll give us bad advice. And just because they're somebody, we'll go ahead and listen to what they got to say. I mean, I've had people that, they just somebody. And they give me a piece of advice. Well, man, they're somebody. They got plenty of money. I mean, the bank account's full. If they say that's what you ought to do, then you might ought to do it. And then when you do it, you wish you'd have never done it.
Right.
Don't let people stand in your way of being in God's will. Don't let those things clutter up our life and get us to the place to where we can't see God's will. Don't let people stand in the way that keeps giving opinions that'll hinder you from being where God wants you to be.
Right.
Amen. Let's go somewhere else. Luke chapter 19. Let's go to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verse number 1. "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was." Boy, I like the way he said that. It wasn't that he just sought to see the man as he passed by or to be able to see the being, but he said that he sought to see Jesus, who he was. "And he said he sought to see Jesus who he was and could not for the press because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree and to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house.'" I used this message at the church and got two little bitty fellers in the church, and they got to have a step stool to put air in the tire. I mean, they're little bitty fellers. And I aggravate them all the time about that, but they're small of stature. And if we all stand up inside the church, if they're in the back, they ain't got a clue what's taking place in the front. They're just small. And then there's a lot of times that we being small in stature and small in our relationship with the Lord, We're not where we need to be with the Lord. We've got a lot of other things that have cluttered up our mind and got into our place, and we can't see exactly what's taking place and what's going on. You know, this was a wealthy man. This was a man that had overcome. I mean, he's a tax collector. I mean, he's hoodooed a lot of people, but he's got a job to do, and that's his job to do. But it said that Jesus was to pass that way, and he said he wanted to see him who he was. So here he is, he's standing in the back of the press. I mean, it's no different than the little lady that was standing back there with the issue of blood. He's standing in the back of the crowd and he's thinking, "I just want to see who he is. I just want to come in contact with him. I want to know this man Jesus. There's something special about this man. I feel it in my bones. There's something taking place when Jesus comes through, and I just want to see him." So he goes to looking around. He sees a sycamore tree. I told him the other day, I said, "You know that sycamore tree down in my mom's in the corner? It's a hybrid sycamore tree. I don't know if it's the same sycamores or not, but there ain't no limbs on that thing at the bottom. And they're about that big around. And the limbs is pretty good ways up before you can get to one. And I'm thinking, how did this little bitty feller climb this great big sycamore tree to get up to where that he could see where Jesus was? See, the opposition was before him. There was something before him, and it was an obstacle that he was going to have to overcome and compass in order to be able to see who Jesus was. And he decided, you know what? I'm not going to let the press nor the people that despises me, the people that hates me, I'm not going to let that stand in my way. I'm not going to let stand in the way that I am short of stature and that I can't see over everybody else. I'm not going to let that stand in my way. But I'm going to rise above this because I'm going to climb up in that sycamore tree because there's a man passing through and I want to see who he is. And he goes over and ain't got a clue how he done it. He may have paid somebody, said, can I stand on your shoulders to get me started up this tree? He may have begged somebody, help me, throw me up in this tree. I've got to get up in this tree. And I believe as soon as he got settled up in that tree, and he may have been hanging on to it like this, I ain't got a clue. But as soon as he got settled up in that tree, Jesus walks up to the bottom of it. Says, Zacchaeus, come down from there. I'm going to abide at your house today. Why? Because he rose above all the hindrances in his life. He rose above what was holding him back. And he got to the place to where he could see over that and see to Jesus Christ. What happened when Jesus came to abide at his house? Did he not say his whole house got saved? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of things can be hindered by a cluttered life. And things that we let stand in the way of where we are and what God has in store for us. Let me go to another place here, if I can remember. I got so many numbers laid out here, I'll get us all confused. Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 25. Now let's go back a little bit further. Let's go to verse 23. Now when Jesus was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter, was the time when that the woman with the issue of blood has reached through and touched him. Now we're going to a different account in the book of Mark, and we'll finish that story. But it says here in verse number 23, and when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. He said, give place. Just let me in. Because she's not dead. She just sleepeth. Notice what's taking place here. They've already got out the harps and the instruments. And it's soothing music. It's morning music. And they're playing that because they believe that this, you know, he's too late. Jairus' daughter's done gone. He looks at him and he says, don't fret. He said, because she's not dead. She just sleeps. Man, what tears me up says they laughed him to scorn. It was the very ones that had sent for him. It was the very ones that knew Jairus' father had sent word for him to come. And now that they think she's dead, they're not willing to accept reality of what God is capable of doing. And then all of a sudden they say, well, they start laughing him to scorn. Let me back up and read that again. When Jesus came to their ruler's house and saw the minstrels, the people making noise, he said to them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame thereof went abroad into all the land. Sometimes we need to give place to Jesus Christ. Give place. Jesus went up to this bunch of people and they're not willing to believe what he had to say or what he was capable of doing. And he just says, give place. Just move out of the way. And let me show you what God can do.
Amen.
A lot of times we let all these things take place in our lives and we'll start mourning. And we'll think that it's impossible, that God can't do this, God can't perform this, God can't deliver me from this. I mean, we just go on and on, and we'll fall right down into that pity party, and there we'll be, and just worrying ourselves sick when we ought to give place and allow Jesus Christ to come in and do what he's capable of doing. Let's go to one more place. The book of John, chapter number 18. John chapter number 18, verse number 1. And when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook of Cedron, where was the garden into which he had entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft time resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth, and he said unto them, whom seek ye? He knew what was going to take place, so he walks up to the band of these soldiers with weapons and with torches, and you know, like they're coming after a thief or a murderer. He says, whom seek ye? And it says, and they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Scared them to death that they're in the presence of Jesus Christ. I mean, they come, you know, with weapons and or torches and weapons to come and get this man Jesus. But as soon as he spoke, authority spoke. He says, I am he.
Amen.
He said they fell backwards to the ground. Notice what happens next. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. Listen to this. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. If we truly are seeking for Jesus, we're going to have to let everything else go. You're going to have to let everything that we're even affiliated with. You're going to have to let it go. It wasn't long after that Peter draws out the sword and he cuts off one of the soldier's ears. Jesus said, put up again thy sword. And boy, I wish I could remember all of that, but that's been a while since we did that passion play. But anyway, he said, put up again thy sword. He said, who are you seeking? You know, they could have just took Peter and locked him up too. And then they could also took the disciples and locked them up too. But he said, who are you seeking? Who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. He said, it's me. And if it's me that you're seeking for, let these others go. You know, a lot of times in a cluttered life, we have to come to the place to where that we can just let these others go. We young people, listen to me. Getting ready to start school next week, I guess. Hash County starts in the morning. But you're going to be faced with a lot of choices. You're going to have a lot of people that's going to come up and they're going to try to persuade you to be in their little clique or be a part of or be their friend or get in trouble with them or run with them, regardless of what it is. And you'll be faced with all kinds of opportunities, whether it be drugs, alcohol, sex. You're going to be faced with all those things. It's all, even in elementary school, these things are taking place. But if it's Jesus that you're seeking for, let these others go.
Right.
You've got to be willing to let everything go, because I promise you, if you're seeking for Jesus and you let the clutter go, just as the man on the park bench, it'd do him well. It'll do us all well just to be like that dog. Let everything else go and get to the place to where that we can let Jesus rule in our lives. And I promise you, when you're faced with that opposition in school, regardless of what you come up against, God will grant you grace to overcome it. You'll be just exactly like Zacchaeus. You'll be able to go over and climb up above that opposition. You'll be just like the woman with the issue of blood, that you'll be able to press through them and get through them so that you can get to Jesus. And He'll lead you and guide you exactly where He wants you to go. We can't help it, but we are cluttered.
Yeah, we are.
We're a cluttered people. But if it's Jesus that we're seeking for, it'd be good to let these others go as we stand to our feet.